Welcome back to the Brilliant Perspectives podcast. I'm your host, Jaylen Bowden, and today I've got a brilliant question for you. So take a second and think about a challenging circumstance or situation that you might be facing right now. It could be at home, at work, or even internally in your own heart. And once you have that situation in mind, I want you to ask the Lord this question. God, what is this situation for? And how are you using it to teach me more about who I am in you? If you're new here, we love to ask God these brilliant questions. They help to get our focus away from the negatives and to see what good things He's up to instead. Today's episode is going to continue our month-long exploration of how to cultivate a confident expectation of God. Because not only does He place provision ahead of us, but He's also given us a beautiful inheritance in Christ. And we can take hold of it right now. Let's jump in with Graham Cook to learn more.
What is this situation for? What are you doing? I know you're always up to something good. So, how do you plan to use this situation to upgrade my relationship with you, show me more of your inheritance, bring me into an experience of your favor, and cause me to inherit something that other people could come into as well? Because you know, it's never just about you, right? You live in an overflow so that other people around you can get drenched. So, His presence has already been in advance of your circumstances. So He walks out ahead of us, sees everything, puts things in certain places because He wants us to find them, and then He walks back to where we are and walks out with us. Then He goes with us. Why? Because He wants you to find stuff. He goes out in advance, He puts stuff out there, He comes back to where you're standing and He says, okay, let's go. I want you to find stuff here. So what if every single circumstance of your life is there so you can find stuff? So you can discover stuff. That means you have to be an explorer with Him. You have to ask the questions. What are you doing? When you ask questions like that, what you're saying is, hey, I trust you. I know what you're like. I trust you. I know you've got something planned. We're not standing here wringing our hands going, Lord, please. We're saying, I totally get you. I know what you're like. I know that you totally love who I am. Wake up. Wake up to the reality of who you've always been in Christ. You're in the kingdom. You live in the world, but you're not of it. You're of the kingdom. And different rules apply in the kingdom. It's like the world's playing baseball, kingdom's playing football. Someone's going to get hurt. It's totally not going to be you, though. There's something you have to inherit, and your circumstances right now are perfect. You have the most perfect circumstances right now to inherit something amazing. And the more difficult your circumstances are, the more amazing your provision is supposed to be. That's how the kingdom works. Yeah, most of us want new but think old. And we think old when we think according to the world we grew up in, rather than the kingdom that God placed us in. One of my favorite stories is I was out with a friend of mine, and we were chatting in his house, and his wife had gone out doing some errands, so we were watching the two girls, and they were playing in front of us, and he gets a phone call, and he looks at it and says, Gray, I just got to step out and take this. No worries. So I'm sat there, I'm watching the girls play, and the older one says to the younger one, we're going to church tomorrow. And the younger one, who's like about four, she says, we don't go to church, we are the church. That's because we're in the kingdom. The older one says, what's the kingdom? The four-year-old says, the kingdom is the rule of God on earth. And Steve comes back in and said, you never guess what Em just said. He said, oh, tell me, the Holy Spirit's been all over her for months. So I told him what she said, and he went, yeah, that's it. That's the stuff she's coming out with. He said, you know what? I started listening to Em like on a Friday when I'm thinking about my sermon for Sunday. So, Em, what do you think about this? That's when you realize there is no such thing as a junior Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that can talk to an apostle can talk to a four-year-old, but she might just understand it all so much better. You're that child. In your worst state, you are that child. You're a much loved child. And you always will be. But it's kind of cool to grow up. You know, to keep that around, because you might need it on some days when stuff is really big, you might just need to scale down to a much loved child, you know, get some provision, and then come out fighting. Yeah? God's never going to leave you. That means you have to experience the opposite of being forsaken. You can't live like you're on your own when there's three of them in there and you're number four. You are your own fiery furnace. There's four of you in there and none of you are going to get smoked. His presence enables us to discover what He wants to be for us now. So you're explorers. You're exploring who Jesus is for you. You're exploring what God is like. And then you're becoming pioneers. And pioneers are people who take what they know to be true and press it out. They see it as territory. Revelation is territory. Prophecy is territory. Promises is territory. Scripture is territory. What you can dream about is territory. God is a territorial spirit. It says so in the Bible. Read the book of Judges when He's apportioning territory to Israel's tribes. You know, from this mountain range down to this valley, from here down to the sea. What's that? That's a territorial spirit in action. He is the one true, great, original territorial spirit. And there's a piece of territory out there that's got your name on it. And you're supposed to inherit it. Israel's in bondage in Egypt. And the first thing Moses has to do is tell them, God's going to deliver you, and then He's going to take you to your own territory. He's going to take you to a land of promise, a land of milk and honey. You're going to get your own territory. Right now, you're living in prison, you're living in hovels in Egypt, making, you know, all these huge buildings on rations. But you're going to get territory. It's not enough for God to set you free. He has to give you your inheritance. And your inheritance is Jesus. And whatever He possesses now belongs to you because you're in Him. And you have to learn how to be a joint heir with Him so that you can become a full heir in the Father. Are you even curious about what your inheritance might be? Well, expectation is fed by that curiosity. Expectation creates in us a sense of wonder. And it's more than just, I wonder what God's going to do. It's more like, I know He's going to do something, I'm so excited. Or as my daughter would say, I'm so excited. We owe it to Jesus to get our hopes up. We owe it to Jesus to at least be curious and have a sense of wonder about our situation. Better to have a sense of wonder than a sense of dread. Your current life circumstances are designed to connect you to confidence, to God's confidence in Himself. That's why Caleb was called a man of a different spirit. That's what God said about him. I like that boy. I think we'll keep him around. He's fun to be around. He really understands who we are and what we're doing here. I appreciate that not knowing the future often can create a negative perception or a mindset or an emotion about your present life situations. But when you know that God has gone before, and just the knowledge that God is in advance of your life circumstances should create in you a great sense of hope and expectation and trust and faith about the favor that's coming your way. Favor comes to us because of God's presence. Comes to us because of Christ in us. I want you to understand this. Confident expectation is the antidote to fear, to doubt, to negativity, and unbelief. In Christ, we never work on negative issues. We replace them with the favor of God. You don't have to work on something that God has already taken away. That's like, you know, exhuming a corpse and giving it plastic surgery. That's a weird thought, huh? Straight out of Monty Python, that one. It's like digging up a dead person and putting makeup on. It's weird. You working on your old man when everybody in heaven rejoiced that it was dead. The truth is, you were too bad to be cleansed. You had to be crucified. No one in heaven wanted the job of working on your old stuff. So this was planned before the foundation of the world. Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. It was a done deal. They agreed a certain point in history, he would come and die for the sins of humanity. So why would God want to work on your stuff when the person it belongs to is dead? Right? We built whole doctrines on this stuff. I mean, seriously, we believe the weirdest stuff, and yet the opposite of that is in the Bible. You're so dead. And because Jesus is your new man and your spirit mingles with his spirit, you are now a whole new creation. All the old things have passed away. Everything has become new. And one of the biggest things that has become new is you have this massive expectation of who you can be now because of what Jesus has done.